The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
Is this thing on?
I feel like Doug hasn't been having to do much shit lately. I feel he doesn't have enough on his plate. I think we should always just record it, and he should have to chop it up and edit it later.
By the way, people, Maps Black will be available next year.
No.
You see what happens when you bite the hand that feeds you.
You see what you fucking did, Adam?
I know.
Where's the Beats headphones anyway?
Yeah, where are they?
I'm sick of looking at Justin using earbuds.
I'm always the guy with the buds. You know, like, this bud's for you.
Yeah. What's up, Doug? What's going on with those?
I'm going to go pick
him
up.
Take him to Thailand.
So he did fix them?
He's going to take
to
Thailand.
Whoa.
No, I took him down to the shop. They're going to come out. They're going to be done in 2 weeks. A month passed. A month and a half passed. The parts were wrong. They got sent back. Then I get the final call was, we're probably not going to be able to get it fixed anytime soon. Come pick up your headphones. I have time for that.
Can we pistol whip him?
Let's
give him a shout out.
We have a radio. Yeah, I was gonna say, we have a radio station now.
You're on my level, bro.
Yes.
You don't do us like that, especially not Doug.
Do we get charged already?
$15 is a deposit.
And we got charged. Okay. What's the name of this motherfucker's company? What's his company name?
I think it's actually called Camera Repair.
Camera Repair?
I'm not sure.
The first clue.
Camera Repair / I don't care.
The first clue Doug. I'm going to show you a little detective work here.
Okay.
We have headphones.
Yes.
Okay. Which you put on your ears.
Yes.
You brought them to a place called Camera Repair, which fixes cameras.
Dang it.
Mistake number one.
I feel like
we'll do it. We'll do all of it.
Actually, I've used these guys before for repairing
cameras.
Cameras. Yeah. No. They're
that doesn't disprove anything I just said.
All right, called out on the air.
I didn't even know that. I'm so glad you called him out.
They did my car stereo.
Now I can't be mad at the guy right here.
I brought my headphones to Safeway. Those motherfuckers.
They fixed my vacuum.
It was called camera repair and stuff.
It's like Doug goes to Jiffy Lube and asks the guy if he can fix his stereo. He's like, hey, bro, my speakers aren't working very well here. Could you guys fix that? And the kid just going like, yeah, we'll take care of that.
We tried 5W30, but it didn't work.
We just hit it a couple times.
He's mad. I don't understand why my speakers aren't working correctly.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, it hurts to laugh right now for me. Did I tell you guys what happened earlier?
Why?
So I go to work out this morning because I had some cancellations. So I wanted to work out before I trained my first client. So I go to the gym. I'm going to do some front squats. I wasn't going to go too heavy. So I think I had, I don't know. How much is the new kilogram? What are those? 25 kilograms each?
2.2.
I had two plates on each side. So
the reds?
265. Yeah. Right. So 265 pounds. And this is what I hate. Like, if I tweak something in my back, I want it to happen when I'm lifting something really fucking heavy because I want a good story.
But it never happens.
No, I want someone to be like, how did you hurt your back? Be like, well, you know, fucking lifted 700 pounds.
Like 1,000 pounds squashed me.
No, and I didn't even squat it. I just took it off the rack a little too. I was too excited. I was a little too energized. Oh. And I came up a little quick and then right in my.
You bust your nut.
Right? I just ejaculated all over the window.
What?
No, I had. That's what happens. You don't pay attention now.
I know.
You came in at the right.
All I hear was.
Yeah, he's on his phone. La, la, la. Ejaculate.
Yeah. Put the phone down. I want to listen. No, I moved a little too quickly and then right in my thoracic by my scapula, right by my right shoulder blade, I felt a little twinge. So I kind of put the weight up and it was the very beginning of my workout. So let me ask you guys this. I want to see how similar or different we are.
Okay.
At this point, now it's not like I'm not on the ground.
Most people would have stopped.
What would you guys have done? Started your workout, about to do your set. You unracked the weight a little bit. There's a little twinge. It's not a major one, but you're like, this might not be good. Mm. What do you do?
Instant bro day.
Yeah, you go a little lighter.
Yeah. So you don't stop.
No, of course not. No. Yeah. It becomes a machine day.
So what would you? So far we're identical. What would you do with the 265 on the bar? Because I haven't done a rep with it yet. I just tried to unrack it.
You kind of want to do it. Like, you got to finish it.
That's exactly.
Damn it.
This is literally what I did.
This is so not good advice.
I popped a little.
Yeah, this is not good
advice. No, this is horrible advice. I felt it, and I'm like, fuck, right? So I immediately racked it. I kind of stretched a little bit, and I'm like, and I can feel it when I'm breathing. You know, you get one of those?
Yeah, yeah.
So I walk over to the side of the bar, and I take one plate off, right? One plate off on the left side, one plate off on the right side. I'm staring at the bar. I go get the plate, put it back on, and I decide, I'm like, fuck it, I'm doing two sets of this shit.
I'm just going to do it.
And I did two sets, and I feel horrible now.
Now, we're going to make you laugh all night.
And now just I feel horrible.
Fuck with you.
Listen, I am the best trainer for other people. Yeah. I am not that good for myself. Right. When it comes to that terrible. Kind of shit.
Hence, don't watch what I'm doing in the gym. Right?
It's never. It always is that way. I end up doing stupid shit.
Yeah. Well, you know why?
I blame these testicles.
I blame, you know, it's where you're your own worst enemy, because you kind of know too much. You feel like you can flirt with that fine line always, right? It's like a race car driver, right? He's going to push those limits always. You know what I'm saying?
I feel like that's not accurate, because I literally think to myself, there's no level of smart. There's no intelligence I'm applying. It's literally, fuck this, I'm doing it anyway.
Sure there
is. That's what goes through my head.
Sure there is. You stopped, you did a little bit of dynamic stretching, a little bit like that, then you came back in. I'm sure you made a conscious effort to brace your core even more before you went down. So there is some sort of intelligence inside.
Well, it's like the race car driver. He could have just like gone three quarters, right, just to get the engine warm the first run, but he's like, I want to see what this has.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, pedal to the metal.
I need to see how this corners at 240, you know?
Fuck, yeah, man. So
it's
now,
the same thing.
Yeah. Now I'm a little tweaky.
That was today?
That was this morning, dude.
Are you sure that wasn't from Adam's big bear hug you guys did outside?
Did we hug each other? We didn't hug each other.
Yeah, it was very
No, we
awkward.
Didn't.
He does that every time he sees me.
Oh, when we were, yeah.
Yeah, we're holding each other up for pictures.
The thing about Adam having a small waist is I can reach all the way around and touch my elbows.
That's a great, like,
when I give
like
him a
anaconda.
Hey,
is that the anaconda?
Hey, I want you to envision him just like he just did, wrapping his arms all around my waist like that.
That's disgusting.
From the front or the back?
Yeah. That's what I was gonna say. Yeah. There's no good side.
Yeah. Either way, you're
the backside.
Your face
the front
is
side,
smashed into something uncomfortable.
It would have ended horribly.
Yeah.
So, why are you in a bad mood today, Adam?
Not in a bad mood,
huh? Yeah.
Why? Because I went on a rant.
Yeah, you get all weird sometimes and angry.
I don't get. I get,
hold on. Did you get sleep good
this
last
night?
This
is maniacal goatee.
I did.
When are you gonna get rid of that?
Did you go
I'm
to?
I'm just gonna keep letting it go, bro.
Did you,
until I can like, braid. I want to be able to braid it,
bro. Did you sleep good last night?
I did. I slept excellent.
Okay.
I woke up energized. I had a great. I had my staple breakfast. I had my eggs and bacon and stuff. I had and my slider.
Oh, and your mind pump cup.
You've been having sex.
Yeah. Everything's great.
Well, then what the fuck's going on here?
Well, you know. I love this part about our forum. So our forum is filled with lots of intelligent minds.
Yes.
So
we actually have the smartest people in the world on our forum.
It's true.
According to me.
It's a fact. It is. I back that.
In our brains.
Super sexy
people.
No.
We got all kinds of very intelligent people there. And I like it because it is always challenging us. But ever since everybody has been hopping on this ketogenic diet, which once again, we keep telling everybody, this is not the mind pump diet. You guys just happen to be going through a process with us. We keep everything real and we air it on the air. Sal's said how much he loves it, which I blame you, to be honest with you.
Is it my fault?
Yes, it is your fault.
Why?
Because you're the science nerd. Everybody hears you talk and they're like, it must be true. Sal said it.
Sal said it,
which is why
it
I'm going
to. It came out of his mouth, therefore it is.
Which is why I'm going to make you say how much bullshit this net carb thing is. Okay? And I wish I did.
Oh,
you're
talking about the questions about net carb. What do I count? Carbs or net carbs?
Yeah.
Or
so it's been all over our thing. I've been getting people calling me, texting me. And
I
I'm
eat
like,
gross carbs.
And so before I went on my rant, because I like to do a little bit of my own research before I just punked the shit out of somebody, is I wanted to see who the motherfucker was. Was that started this? Who's the guru that started this and the importance and the science behind it? And here's what the whole point of it. Absolutely, we can dive into the science of understanding how fiber gets digested or not digested in the body and how it plays a role on your metabolism. So somebody has come up with this concept of subtracting out your carbohydrates, or excuse me, subtracting out the fiber from your carb intake.
Right, so net carbs are what's left. Yeah. So if I eat a meal with 50 grams of carbohydrates, but 25 of them are fiber, then in reality, I've only had 25 grams of net carbohydrates.
Exactly.
I'm scratching like if my brain was a chalkboard, I'm going like...
That's how I felt. That's how I felt when I keep reading it. And everybody keeps asking, I'm like... here's, okay, I get it. And we could sit here, we could talk about the science and who, why they come up
with
how
that. It's healthy to have fiber, and the role of the body.
And this is, it's like, keep it simple. There's levels of why you don't need to go to this point. Like, there is no reason for someone to start adding another thing that they need to subtract or add into the macro counting already. Dude. Macro counting already is already mundane and crazy. When you start to add in something like this, it's just getting ridiculous. Here's the deal. You know, average male or female needs somewhere between 25 to 60 grams of carbs. Pay attention to that. If you are fiber, sorry, I keep saying carbs. Fiber. If you're not getting that much fiber, okay, get that much fiber. It's that simple. Yeah. To get into the point where you start subtracting your fibrous carbs from your regular carbs, if you're going to do that, then you should start calculating and changing the difference between high glycemic versus low glycemic carbohydrates. You should start subtracting out your plant protein
versus
your...
I'm starting to see your frustration.
Your meat protein.
I didn't before, but now I do.
Well, because it's... We gotta
look at it this
splitting
way.
The hairs of getting... And you can. We can get that level. But it's like, why? Why would you do that? We're nobody in that forum, nobody in this on this podcast listening to us is at a level that should be a concern.
Well, here's the deal. The term net carbs, who uses that? You got to ask yourself that. What type of dieter would even look at net carbs versus carbs? It's a low carb dieter. It's somebody who's eating very, very low carbohydrates. And it's probably somebody who's doing a below 50 gram a day carbohydrate diet. Somebody who would be doing either Atkins or ketogenic diet or, you know, whatever. But those are the people that pay attention to net carbs versus total carbs, right? Okay. So if you're eating below 50 grams of carbohydrates, it's not going to make that big of a difference. It doesn't make that big of a difference anyway. It's definitely good for you. But you're already so low, like, okay, fine. If I have to stay below 50, does that mean I can go up to 150 if, 100 of them are fiber? No, it doesn't. It still kind of counts. Now, not all calories are the same. And of course, some things are going to make you leaner than others. Studies are now proving this. And things, of course, there's things you can eat that are healthier for you than others. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that we're splitting hairs to the point where it doesn't really make that big of a difference.
Well, not only that, it's something that...
I mean, eat healthy carbs. How about that?
You know? The other thing is that you can't... It affects each person differently. So not only are you starting to split hairs there, but then you're also taking something that is not the same for every single person. The way all of our metabolism works and the way it's always free flowing and changing. So you're getting way extreme to go that route. And if you took in, like the post that I wrote, you took in your 500 grams of fibrous carbs or 500 grams of regular carbs, it still equals 2,000 calories.
Dude, this is...
And if you think you can subtract it out of the diet because it's got full of fiber, you're wrong. It's 2,000 calories. If you overconsume your diet by 2,000 fibrous carbs every single day, you'll still get fat.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, their health, I mean, they're going to come from sources that are healthier than you, and they'll probably have a better effect on the body. But again, I mean, you're 100% correct, Adam. It just doesn't, it's not like an invisible thing that you can eat. You know, that doesn't count.
So the reason why I went on the round is to make that point, because so many people were asking about it. And I only get frustrated when somebody tries to throw the science back at me, like I don't understand how it works. No, I'm fully aware of it. But my goal is to help educate the masses. And there's a level of what science is important and in what order.
I'll be honest, like half of the questions like people ask are irrelevant.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, that's just normal in fitness, right?
But no, here's the thing. Like, you're asking things to a very specific degree that have no relevance to your plan right now as we speak. So you read something that somebody posted that's like on a scale of like specificity, like to that degree, because like maybe you saw like somebody you're following or somebody else, like some other dietitian or somebody else, like kind of brought this up and then made it into a fad and made it into this new thing that we're going to concentrate on. But you know, in reality it's like, this is what frustrates the shit out of me, because people are just so quick to go find something that they can have to latch onto that is like, it's either it's new or it's like some kind of like buzzword or, you know, they saw it on Oprah or whatever it is. It's detracting them from the actual core of what is going to give them success and longevity in what we're doing and promoting for fitness and health.
Oh, we see that all the time. So, like dark chocolate has an ingredient that has been shown to burn body fat. And, you know, and so people are like, I'm going
to
eat some dark
chocolate.
It's
another distraction to me. Like, I immediately screams distraction. Like, and if you are like, I really, you'd have to make a case for me that you're at that level that you need to even talk about it.
Well, it's very similar to the debate that people start having between fasted, HIIT cardio, you know, steady, all these crazy things. And it's like, how about you take a look at how much your fat ass moves every day? Focus on that for a minute. You know what a difference that, how much more of a difference that will make than you debating whether HIIT is more beneficial than you doing high intensity versus low intensity versus steady state.
Right.
Like it's
exactly,
it's getting into levels.
How about you just move?
Yeah. It's getting into levels that are so minute as far as the difference that it's going to show in your overall health and physique. So when people get caught up in that stuff, like I get frustrated with it because this is why we started this podcast. It was to help everybody, point everybody in the right direction of health and fitness. If there's something new that comes out, I get one of us three, you better believe
we can't answer it, right? We can answer a lot of questions from our various backgrounds, you know, like there's a lot of specific information that we've acquired, you know, within our specific realms, but like I said, like it's a general thing. It really is irrelevant, you know, like to the master plan. But it, like I see us as like, you know, if we can answer it, we're going to answer it. You know, that's great. But you know, for the general, like everybody else is listening, like just, you know, grab onto those core things and hold on to them and ride it out for as long as you need to ride it out.
Yeah, if you take care of the big things that make the biggest impact on you. You probably won't even have to look at the small stuff. Those are the things that are reserved for elite competitors who, you know, an extra point, you know, 5% might, you know, get them to the next level or whatever. But for everybody else, none of this stuff makes any difference. But, you know, you talked about something, you just brought some up about cardio and how people look at what type of cardio they're doing, but then they don't pay attention to how much they move throughout the whole day. I just read an interesting study on NEAT, which was what was NEAT stand for again? It was
non-exercise activity thermogenesis.
There you go. I always forget that. So they did a study on a group of people who started doing cardio, and they were measuring calorie expenditure throughout the whole day. And what they found was over time, when they would do an hour of cardio every day, the women would on their own reduce the amount of activity they did throughout the day. So they would do an hour of cardio, and then the rest of the day
be less active because they just did a bunch of hard work.
Either that, absolutely. Or you also got to consider this: the body, when it notices an increased expenditure of calories, it will send out signals to make you not move as much at other times. This is an evolutionary advantage. This is something we evolved doing. So whether it's by choice, which I definitely think that plays a role, or it's by just energy levels, and now I just want to sit down, or you know, combination of both, which is what I think it is. It's interesting because people are not focusing on the main and most important thing when it comes to calorie burning. Because when we look at cardio, let's look at it this way. Cardio, unless you're training for a particular type of athletic adaptation, if you're an athlete and you want to improve your VO2 max your ability to you know, train at a set intensity for long distances, like a long distance runner. If you're the average person that does cardio, the vast majority of people who do cardio only do it for one reason, to burn calories. If you're looking at cardio to burn calories, you're missing out on the most important thing, which is the rest of the day. What are you doing the rest of the day? That makes the big, big difference. And that's what NEAT is. And I hear people talking about things like EPOC. You know, let's talk about that for a second.
Yeah, it's
Well,
you threw me that curveball.
Here's the thing, the epoch, dude. It's just like a lot of these other terms. Let me bash it first a little bit.
Thank you for saving me.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. Okay, epoch, it's just like any other thing, right? It's something that the fitness industry has found that there's some significance, like the body's going to prioritize the fact that I need to get that oxygen back from expending it. And so now I'm going to get an added increase in expenditure the rest of the night. And nobody really knows how many calories that equates to. This is where I scoff at it a bit, because I don't, like, I've heard a range from like anywhere from 20 to 400, like anything in between.
Now this
people are banking on the fact that this is going to be the rest of my night. This is going to be the rest of my evening. I did my one thing. It was like 35, 40 minutes long. And now all of a sudden I'm going to eat a burger that's like equal to this 400 calorie burn that I have as an afterburn effect.
Yeah. So EPOC, real quick, it stands for excess post-exercise oxygen consumption. And so this is otherwise known as the afterburn effect that I'm sure you've read about, right? You work out, you burn X amount of calories, and then your body stays elevated, your metabolism stays elevated for X amount of hours post-exercise. Way too much value has been placed on this. It's such a small part of the whole thing, and it really doesn't make a big difference. They don't even know, like you said, Justin, they have no idea what that equates to, how many calories that equates to. And the best science that we have shows that it's probably negligible. It exists, but it's probably negligible. Now, if you compare it to something like NEAT, there's no comparison whatsoever.
Not even a comparison.
Which we predicted a while back, you know, and I've been talking about NEAT for a long time. It's for sure. I've changed completely how I train. We talked about before, right? How many like little times in our fitness career where like our paradigm was shattered, or we've totally like altered the way we coach or train, right? This was one of them for me. And it was during the whole competing process when I got into that, and I got so anal about tracking, and I realized, like, dude, this is crazy that I see all these competitors around me doing an hour of cardio, you know, every single day. And then as they get closer to their show, they're doing 2 hours of cardio every single day. And I'm like, this is fucking insane. Like, why?
Everybody's just on hamster wheels.
Yeah, just
unproductive.
Because they think that's what you have to do. And I'm like, that's way too stressful. That just sounds like so much work. And then I would see them, and they're friends of mine, and they're like just miserable. And I'm like, well, why don't you just track your steps every single day? And then each day as you get closer to your show, or each week as you get closer to your show, add 2,000 to 3,000 steps per day every single week, and see what that does, and then reduce your calories by 200 calories instead of not reducing them at all for that week. Like, wouldn't that make more sense? I mean, a lot less stress that you'd have to go through to get the same result. And, you know, no one understood that, and nobody, you know, they've been told by their coach to do otherwise, and thought, this is ridiculous. It's why I don't do any, I get ready for a show at the fucking professional level and do not do any cardio till the last 2 weeks. The final 2 weeks, you will see me on the treadmill. And when you do, it's short lived. It's not, and literally, like, I have mapped it out according to my NEAT. My NEAT comes first. And then when it gets to a point where I'm basically running out of time of moving all day long, because I get to that crazy level when I'm getting close to showtime where I'm stepping 25 to 30,000 steps a day. Well, now I need to pick the intensity up. You know,
well, think about it this way. It makes so much of a difference. It's such an effective thing to communicate to people who are trying to get in shape. Because
way more success with
way
that.
Way more success.
Way more.
For so many different reasons. Number one, that accounts to more of your calorie burn than an hour, 30 minutes of, or an hour of cardio would. So there's that. But there's also this. Let's not forget this. If I'm the average person and I want to burn body fat and I want to work out, you know, I'm going to do an hour of cardio every day. That means I have to prepare myself to do an hour of cardio every single day, or 30 minutes of cardio every single day. I have to get my workout clothes on. Yeah. I have to go to the gym, get on a piece of cardio
equipment. Get away from your family, your friends, whatever. You're just doing your thing.
Right. Stop work. Or maybe it's at home, but still, I'm on a bike or I'm on a treadmill, and that's what I'm doing. I'm doing is my 30 minutes of cardio versus, you know, I'm going to measure my NEAT and I'm going to just be more active today. So I'm already working on the computer. What I'm going to do is I'm going to stand. Yeah. And as I stand, I'm going to shift my weight from side to side. Like, that's increasing my NEAT. Instead of reading this book and sitting down, I'm going to get one of those ones where you can listen through my headphones, and I'm going to go for a walk. And instead of sitting and listening to my book, reading my book, I'm going to get up and walk while I listen to my book. Right. Or, you know,
I'm going to be productive, and I'm going to wash, you know, the dishes. I'm going to, like, take care of whatever errands I got to do. I'm going to do some, you know, chores outside.
Right.
Like, your productivity goes way through the roof when you start just, I'm not going to sit down, because once you sit down, game over.
Right. And that's what I mean. Like, instead of think of it as a 30-minute workout, you know, every single day, I'm just moving more
throughout
the day.
Always doing stuff.
And I don't have to do anything. I don't have to go to the gym. I don't have to change my clothes. I just got to, what am I doing right now? Oh, I'm just sitting here. Let me get up and move around.
Well, dude, everybody feels like they have like this, I don't know, they're entitled to rest, right? Versus earning rest. And I feel like as society as a whole, like we just have this, like, well, we got a couch and we got, you know, this show and we got all these things. I just worked all day and bleh, you know, it's like you did not work that hard. You pussy.
No, I love you calling everybody out on that because it's so true. We've got into that mentality as a society that, you know, because we had a long, stressful day mentally, it's sitting at our desk on the fucking computer for 10 hours.
Your
then we come
body's
home.
Starving to move.
Yeah, it is. It is. It absolutely is what it is. Probably half the reason why you're so goddamn stressed out and you have a headache because your body does want to move.
Yep.
It was made to move. Yeah. You know, and then you sit at a desk all day long. That is not ideal for the body. And that's not the anatomical position. It's not the position it wants to be in. You got to get out there and move. You know, and simple, like going back to what Sal was saying, like I would give goals too of like, tell a client, hey, you know, what time do you normally get up? Okay, well, now I want you to get up a half hour earlier. And literally you can, in your pajamas, you know, just go for a stroll. Whether it be if you got this equipment inside or go for a walk or walk your dog, you know, or make it a ritual now that you and your husband after dinner, you guys go for a walk together. Go walk for 30, 45 minutes. Bam, that's healthy for your relationship. And I guess what? It's going to be healthy for your heart. And it's going to be healthy for your body.
And track it. I mean, there's tools and there's things that you can get a hold of now that... you know, make it a lot more motivating because the thing is we didn't really have a metric for this for a long time and, you know, it wasn't popular, but now it's like, you know, it's pretty easy. Like anybody can get just your basic pedometer and just see the increase in movement, like activity throughout the day. That's something that is a number then that will equate into your overall program. Just like we talk about with volume, you can increase the volume of your activity.
You know, one of the things I'll do sometimes just to increase my kids' neat is if they've been sitting around, because let's face it, nowadays, modern times, children are far less active because everything's designed for them to be not active. It's so entertaining to not move when you're a kid. And I don't blame kids for wanting to sit down and play video games all day long or whatever. When I was a kid, cartoons came on Saturday morning and, you know, video games kind of sucked. And so we were outside. But so what I'll do sometimes is I'll shut everything off, put some music on. We have a dance competition. And it's just small ways you can get people to, you know, get your kids to move and increase neat. But here's another thing. I know everybody who's listening who's ever traveled to a country that required them to walk a lot has experienced this. You know, I know for myself personally, I had traveled to France. This was years ago, and I ate a lot. You know, I'm on vacation, right? So I'm eating everything. I'm eating crepes on the street. I'm eating desserts. I mean, and I come back and I'm always lighter. I've always lost weight because I walked
all day.
I walked everywhere.
Yeah.
I don't work out at all, but I walked everywhere.
Right.
It makes that big of a difference. And think about it this way. If you're looking for the best all around kind of fitness schedule where you're kind of, you know, you're tackling a lot of different issues with your body. You want to get stronger. You want to get leaner. Cardio, if you do good neat, you don't need to do cardio. You got to lift, right? Training with the resistance is very, very important. But here's the good news about resistance training. It doesn't have to be done every day. You can do resistance training quite effectively for the average person 2 days a week. As you get more advanced, 3 days a week. You probably don't need more than that unless you really want to take it to the next level. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the time, just have good activity throughout the day. Just have good neat.
Well, and we said it once before, I'm going to say it again, is that, you know, shit, where did you hear Shreds first? You heard about us telling you what was going to happen with that company. What did we tell you was going to happen with ketogenic? Some of you may have heard of ketogenic before you heard it on here, but I'll tell you right now where it's going right now and how many people are talking about it now. It's because there's new science, new studies, new stuff is coming out. That's what we're about, is like informing you guys about that. The same thing is going to happen with NEAT. NEAT right now, and it's a big rock. There's a lot of shit you hear. If you hear HIIT, you hear EPOC, you're going to hear about NEAT a lot more. Before, like Justin was saying, the tools, the technology wasn't really there. About 2004 was, I believe, when Body Media came out and released BodyBug, which was the first really accurate tool. And it was ugly. Nobody wanted to wear it. It was big old...
Newsflash, okay? The technology has not gotten any better since.
It really hasn't.
The only thing that's gotten better is awareness in the market.
Yeah.
That's and the way it looks.
And the way, it's
the technology is not nowhere. So relying solely on that, like, anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt, but.
No. It's a very good point. And in 2004 was when it first really hit the mainstream. Those of us trainers in this room were all a part of that, got a chance to utilize those tools well before the general population had it. So. Huge fan of it. It was a game changer for me.
Yeah.
But still, the majority of the population wasn't wearing it. you know, there still was hardly anybody still knew, probably hardly anybody who's listening to this even knows what a Body Media Body Bug is when it was one of the first ones that Apex released. But everybody knows what a Fitbit is. You know, everybody probably knows what a Jawbone is. Everybody knows.
Brilliant marketing.
Yes, the Nike FuelBand. Everyone knows these tools. So now they're extremely popular. They're sexier. They're cooler. They're hip. And you haven't heard a lot of the fitness gurus starting to go this direction, but you will, the ones that are intelligent because they know this is a big rock. Neat trumps damn near every fucking cardio shit you've heard out there. Yeah. You teach someone about neat, you educate them on understanding their neat and how to manipulate it and change it in a progressive manner towards whatever their goal may be, will kick the shit out of Epoch, kick the shit out of HIIT, kick the shit out of all that stuff all day long. And you remember you heard us say it first, because ain't nobody talking about neat right now. You haven't even heard it. Most people didn't even know what the fuck that acronym stood for. Sal can barely even remember what it is for. It's that new when it comes to people talking about it, but it's going to be talked more and more about, especially as the awareness of these tools are coming out that have been out since 2004.
Yeah, I think you're right on that with that. No, I don't know what neat stands for. Anyway, no, but you are 100% on that. That's going to be the next big thing, because look, okay, here's the deal. If we took two groups of people, identical twins, one side did 1 hour of very intense workout every single day, and the other group, I don't know, had to wash cars for 8 hours. That was their job. They had to wash, whatever. Guess who's going to burn more calories?
Yeah.
The group that moved all day long, even though it wasn't nearly as intense as that 1 hour of freaking hardcore workout. And I think really the reason why neat is going to make such a big impact as the market starts to learn more about it isn't because it's this revolutionary idea, because it kind of isn't. We've known this. You know, if I tell you, if you move all day long, you'll be leaner than if you sit around all day long. Everybody knows that. But it's about the change in mentality and understanding. Whereas before, when people would go and have that 45 or hour long hard workout, they just didn't count the rest of the day.
Well,
I worked out.
It's about controlling your environment, not be making excuses for it and then trying to make up for it, right? We're in the society where everybody wants to make up for their sedentary job or their sedentary way that they, you know, they do things throughout the week. And then so they want to almost like pay for it, right? So they want to do this like hard, intense workout that's going to burn them excess amount of calories. And now they're just like equating everything to a mathematical equation.
Well, recently we did an episode about nutrition and the nutrition guide and understanding that and how people just blow all that shit out of proportion. The same thing goes for this. People don't understand the science behind this with the whole steps and everything like that. Like it's seriously one of the easiest things that you could tell a client to focus on without overcomplicating the whole process. And you're going to see it more and more. You'll see it more and more come out and penetrate the fitness industry, which is also a reason why right now I'm busting my ass to try and get ourselves aligned with something like this, like a wearable, because this is something that I feel like Mind Pump would stand behind a tool like this, because we know the importance of it and how much it can help the average person towards their fitness goals.
Yeah, I think, again, this will make a bigger impact on your fat loss, on your overall fitness and longevity. Let's not forget that, guys. Let's talk about longevity here. Being, you know, low to moderate level of activity all day long versus being sedentary is excellent for longevity. Mm-hmm. 30, 40, 1 minute, 1 hour hardcore cardio sessions 3 or 4 days a week, those are not really indicated for longevity. Those are great for performance. You'll burn some calories. But when you look at the people who live the longest in the world, they're always active and it's doing regular stuff. So it's better across the board. Of course, cardio, there's definitely a place for it, especially if you're an athlete and you want to train for a particular type of endurance. You got to do that type of cardio. But for the rest of us, for the rest of you, you'd never have to step on a piece of cardio again if you understood that just staying active and moving and increasing your neat would give you that much more of an impact.
People grossly underestimate too, let me tell you. I don't know how many times I've asked a client, like, you know, how active are you? You know, or, you know,
nobody knows. Yeah, everybody thinks they're so active.
Everybody thinks because they go to the.
That's where all the calculations go wrong.
Well, did you know that a recent study that came out that actually says that the average person who goes to the gym 3 to 5 times a week for an hour is still considered sedentary?
Yeah.
So if just because you go to the gym and you bust your ass for 3 to 5 hours a week, you still could be considered a sedentary person because the rest of your lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. I think people just this is why people think they're active when they work out 3 days a week, because they're comparing themselves to their peers. So they're like, well, you know, they don't work out at all. Therefore, I'm fucking hella active. And yes, in comparison, you're freaking, you know, Lance Armstrong.
No, we're the top of the shit pile. That's exactly
the reality is you're not. You could work out for an hour every day and you're not active if your job and your day involves sitting down all day long. You know, we work in gyms and we're moving and walking, and I work out every day, and I still don't consider myself very active. I would consider like a construction worker very active, you know, even a mail carrier, people who are constantly moving, you know, repetitively with a moderate level of intensity. That would be very active. And in today's society, those people are quite rare. The vast majority, like 99% of you guys listening right now, are sedentary. All of us, even those of you that work out all the time,
right,
we're pretty much sedentary.
Yep.
So pay attention to what you do throughout the rest of the day. And it doesn't have to be a workout. Like Adam was saying, just move more or stand or walk and watch what happens. Watch how your body progresses. Well,
especially when you're overweight, right? And your option is, I'm going to do a high intensity workout, and then I'm going to try and add that into my current routine to account on this excess post oxygen, you know, this EPOC effect. And like, think about like what kind of stress that's putting on your joints. Think about, you know, how that's going to make you feel. Like, it's just going to be murder. You know, like why not just keep it super simple?
Yeah, I think the future of fitness is definitely going to be talking a lot about knee. And I wouldn't I would predict that this will be the big thing that you see in programs where they don't even talk about, you know, things like cardio.
Well, and I think it's, for us, it's obvious. And I know that it makes us seem like we're these future tellers when it comes to stuff like
this.
No,
we just see what's happening.
It's a huge rock.
It's been a neglected subject.
It is.
Sure.
It's very neglected. And, you know, and there is a place for EPOC. There is a place for HIIT. There is a place for, you know, these types of, so don't think that we're saying that. There's an order of importance here.
Exactly.
You know? And the number one importance that should be addressed should be knee. And the problem is most people don't even know what that is. Nobody's addressing that. Nobody's talking about that. Everybody is talking about the different types of cardio. Is fasted cardio?
It's more sexy.
You know, you have all these studies and all these other gurus right now that are, you know, super smart, that are out there talking about the extra benefits of, you know, fasted versus fed cardio. And every doctor has his debate on which one's better than the other. It's like, dude, all that stuff is so small in comparison to getting someone to really truly understand knee and learning how to focus that and apply it to their lifestyle. So that's why we can predict this. It's not because we're that genius. It's pretty damn obvious to us, and it's pretty crazy that we don't discuss it. We don't talk about it more. And you know, the more and more you see these tools coming out, it's gonna be the future.
There's
of
a lot of,
and like you said, programs. You'll start seeing fitness programs that will start to incorporate that.
If we don't do it first,
yeah, exactly.
Of course we will.
Yeah,
we will.
We'll of course, get our we hands will. On that.
Yeah.
Don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, and check out mindpumpmedia.com. We've got some awesome testimonials. We've also got some cool apparel on there. We've got the MAPS shirts, the red, green, and black. We've got our mugs on there, the Angry Mike mugs. And we have hats still on there, Doug?
No. Out, sold
no
out.
More hats. Oh, sold them geez. Out. Maybe sold we'll bring them back out. At one point. You can also find us on Instagram. Money. At Mind Pump Radio. You can find me at Mind Pump Sal. You can find the wonderful singer that you're hearing right now at Mind Pump Justin. And you can find Adam at Mind Pump Adam.
Damn straight.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. For more information about this show and to get valuable free resources from Sal, Adam, and Justin, visit us at www.mindpumpradio.com. Until next time, this is Mind Pump.